This podcast is intended for mature audiences.
It also contains two British people talking about sex.
Oh, can I just sleep?
No. No, we're recording now.
Hello, and welcome to Teabags and Joysticks, the kinky video game podcast. I'm Si.
And I'm Chris.
I got it right for once.
Yes, finally. About time.
First time in how many episodes?
I don't know. Three, maybe.
It's about three or four, I think it is, yeah. How are we, Chris?
I'm doing all right. I seem to have had too much caffeine recently.
Oh, I wish that was a problem I had right now. I don't think there's enough in the world.
No, it's, yeah, having too much caffeine, and then it's having the caffeine isn't a problem, it's the other side of having caffeine. the caffeine,
which
crash.
I mean, that might be relevant for, well, okay, for, I was thinking like having to have a pee, because I was going to say that might be relevant for what we're talking about today.
Oh, yes, because that would having caffeine, having coffee was definitely affects the taste.
I mean, I'm going to take your word for it, but okay. What are we talking about today, Chris?
We're talking about piss play, water sport, whatever you like to call it.
We're all about the yellow
or gold, if you prefer to describe it as gold.
Gold, there's gold in them there hills. I'm tired enough to be at that point of sleep deprivation. You've been warned before we get going, folks.
Yes, yeah. Oh, my God.
But before we get there, Chris, what's the tea?
Let's do Sports Ball Corner.
Ooh, okay.
So, the Women's Football World Cup is currently ongoing in Australia and New Zealand.
It is. Can I interrupt 1 second and say, is it just me or has it not been published as much this year as previous years? Or have I just missed it all?
You probably have missed it, and it's also being played at like weird times because it's over in Australia and New Zealand.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
Sorry, carry on.
It's being played in, like, the mornings, so... So, you don't see it.
Yeah, there's no wonder I'm not seeing it.
Yeah, you don't see it as much at night when we would normally be watching football. But what I want to talk about is the Canadian team. Canada, who I... If I remember correctly, is the current Olympic champion in women's football.
I like how you're looking at me like I would know.
They have just made history. Quinn is a non-binary footballer who has just been representing Canada at the World Cup.
Whoop whoop. Yes. Wow, that was the gayest I've ever sounded.
Is it really?
No, but that's cool.
Yeah.
I'm all for this. This is awesome. How are they doing in the cup right now? Please tell me they're doing okay.
Canada are doing okay. They have only played one game so far, and they drew the first game. But long way to go.
And how's England doing?
Well, England won the first match, but we did expect to win that one. England only won 1-0, which was a lot less than what we were expecting against a team like Haiti. No disrespect to them, but we were expecting to beat them lot more.
Okay. it's surprising to me to see England with such a low score. Like, so England women's is the only... I'm going to say the only sporting event that I've got unwillingly sat and watched in the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw them beat Belgium, I think it was, 5-2.
Yeah, it was a pretty ridiculously high score. Yes.
Yeah, so, yeah, they've set my expectations like really high. So
yeah, exactly. When it was a 1-0 win and England were kind of struggling and only won by a penalty given by VAR, was a bit of a surprise. But England.
Okay,
do have
but in
some...
their defence, they're in Australia and it's warm over there, and we don't do warm weather.
Yeah. It's winter over in Australia right now, though.
Don't tell me that. I'm trying to give them an...
The main excuse is we have a lot of injury problems.
Fair enough.
Like, a lot.
Also, to be fair, even an Australian winter is warmer than our summer, but that's a whole other matter.
So, yes, that is my tea. And well done to Quinn for representing.
No, congratulations. Well done. Like, that's awesome.
Yeah. What's your tea?
My tea this week is that, like, is it just me or is social media just weird right now?
Social media.
Just in general.
Social media websites and apps are very, very weird right now.
So, Instagram launched Threads.
Yeah. If you want to put it that way. I mean, you can also say Facebook launched Threads because there's... Okay.
But this is my point, you see, because... Instagram launched Threads, but everyone forgets that Instagram is a Facebook property.
Uh-huh.
Facebook has threads and long tweets and everything else. They're called posts. Is Threads not just posts, but posts as Facebook used to be, therefore making Threads Facebook of old? And then you've got the whole thing where it's no longer Twitter, the bird is dead, it's now X, but it might not be X much longer because it turns out that X is trademarked by Microsoft and by Facebook, depending on what area you're using it in.
Yeah.
It's like, what's going on anymore?
I mean, it's no surprise that Microsoft has registered X because they have the Xbox, so...
Well, exactly. And then it came out that the logo for X was not actually a designed logo. It's a font face that's open source.
Oh, God, yeah. It's not a... Yeah, and that's not a logo. That's just a letter.
I'm kind of at that point where it's just like, I just want to shut them all down and just like wait for it all to blow over and let them decide what they're going to do.
Yeah, and there's the whole thing
it's
on...
It's just weird.
On Twitter about their API... Not Twitter.
Oh.
No, the Reddit, I meant. The Reddit on the API.
Oh, the Reddit API thing that's... Oh, but I mean, Reddit's been screwy with its API for years. This is no news, let's be honest. The only thing that's new is how much they're charging.
Yeah.
Like, there is a reason a lot of the tech gays moved over to Mastodon. That's all I'm saying.
Absolutely.
That's like...
Yeah. Yeah.
Which, incidentally, we are over on Mastodon.
We are. We are at TBNJ podcast at wolf.group. I'm jumping the gun here with the advertising, with the plug.
You really are, because you've also got it back to front. It's wolf.group/@TBNJ podcast.
No, well, the handle is at TBNJ podcast at wolf.group. When you want to tag us.
Yes, but the URL is wolf.group and then you put /@TBNJ podcast. I'm just arguing semantics with you here because it winds you up.
Both ways work. Both ways work.
But yeah, we are over there. Like if early plug, if you want to see our links, like, because somehow we're going to have to try and keep up with all of this somewhere and work, you know.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Like, just go to tbnjpodcast.com. We have a link section up there. It's the easiest way.
Yes.
New website plug, and done.
Oh, the tea is delightful today.
Oh, it's going to be one of those today. So, shall we head into the bag, Chris?
Yeah, now we've done all the tea, let's go into the bag.
Yeah. Wait, no, you use the bag to make the... You know what, never mind. Let's go.
What is in a bag today? A lot of piss, it seems like.
Yeah, but that wouldn't make good tea. Yeah. Actually, to be fair, given that what we're about to talk to, some people are probably sat there right now going, well.
Exactly.
So what are we talking about, Chris? We're talking about
water sports.
Indeed. I'm sorry, I'm still not getting over this because I've just been going over the show notes. Read what you have at the top of the show notes because
yes.
What the hell?
Yes, so according to a YouGov survey carried out for Channel 4, they did a survey of over 2,000 people and they found out water sport is the number 9 favourite sexual fetish by British people.
Okay, so the reason I can't get over this is not because I think there's anything wrong with this or anything like that. It's just like, I was sat here going, why the fuck did YouGov ask that? And then you completely explained everything the moment you said Channel 4.
Yes.
Which, for our international listeners that don't know, Channel 4 in the UK is an interesting beast that has some questionable scheduling.
Yeah.
If anyone's ever seen Naked Attraction or any of the international spin-offs, that's where it originated.
Yep.
Because, you know, the British with their stiff upper lip, that's what we come out with, apparently.
They have quite a lot of these things, don't they? Wasn't the Pub Play documentary also Channel 4?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. One of them. It's Channel 4 is a weird beast, but anyway, we're getting completely sidetracked here.
Yeah.
So we're talking about piss play, we're talking about water sports, we're talking about golden showers.
Yes.
Whatever name you wish to use for it, there are many.
There are many, because it's that popular, and therefore there are lots of ways to refer to it.
Let's kick this off with sort of the 101 like we always do. In a nutshell, what is it?
It's the eroticization of urine, basically, in a very sterile sense.
I love how you're looking at me as if to go, am I getting this right? But yeah, it is. It's I'm kind of surprised it's only 9th.
Oh yeah?
Now maybe I'm a little bit jaded because I've spent far too many years on the internet, but it seems a whole lot more popular, particularly in the kink circles, than 9th.
Yeah, they're also, you know, asking a lot of vanilla people, it seems like.
True. No, this... okay, yeah, that's fair.
Have a guess at the number one sexual fetish, which I don't even class as a fetish.
Okay, if you don't class it as a fetish, that throws out my first one. Because I was going to say bondage, so I'm going to guess... Oh, wait, no, hold on, because I know you. Because I was going to guess spanking, but now I'm wondering, this is also Channel 4. Is it like oral sex or something like that?
No, it wasn't that vanilla, but it's pretty vanilla. Sex toys. It's a fetish.
Okay. Interesting. I mean, I guess it depends how you're describing it.
Well, yeah, I guess.
Because you've got, like, people that are into, like, hyper-sized toys and all that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I once saw a dildo in the shape of Trump Tower. Came up to my hip and was, like, at its base as thick as my thigh. And I'm like, okay then.
Yeah.
Not for me, but okay.
Anyway, we're getting sidetracked again.
Yes, we are. Sorry. Yes.
So, why do people like piss play? What do you think?
Okay, so full disclosure, I don't actually know because it's not one of my sort of main kinks. For me, it's one of those things that I like to give.
Yeah.
But only with certain people at that. And for me, it's not actually about the piss, it's more about the degradation. So I'm guessing that's probably an element in it for some people on the receiving end.
Yeah, that is.
But I don't know, is there maybe more?
No, that is definitely a big part of it. Like, because urine for a lot of people, it's not the, like, mentally, it's not the nicest of drinks.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Not the most pleasant drink. And if, there's taking it orally. That's one way to do water sport. And, or there's just, you know, you just piss on somebody. Or you get get piss on rather than piss in. But, yeah, if you were talking about drinking, yeah, it's not considered to be the most pleasant drink. And there is a certain degradation element to consuming such a drink.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those interesting things, like, from my side of things, that on the rare occasion that I am submissive, it's something that's on my lines that I just don't do.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like it's a hard red line. Like, I'm sure, like, if I had a long-term sir and it was all sort of, like, negotiated and it had been such a while, etc., there'd been that chance to get comfortable, I'm sure I could probably do some.
Yeah.
But even then, for me personally, it wouldn't be drinking. Like, mm-hmm. it would just be a case of, if it's been pissed on me,
yeah,
like, and I can shower afterwards, fine, but I don't think I could do more than that. And I know for some people, they like to drink it, they like to be piss-fucked, which is where you piss in a guy's asshole while you're fucking him, or you fuck him straight after. They like being pissed on, like...
Yep.
Some people combine it with other kinks and fetish stuff. So, like, yeah. Some people like the desperation aspect.
Yes.
Some people like that denial aspect. Some people like, I'm running through my head going through things right now. So there's like the diaper thing. There's the whole sort of I want to use the word filth thing. I don't know if that's like the right term of like. Someone pissing on them or being made to piss themselves and then not be able to do anything about it, you know?
Yeah.
That whole, like, wet and messy type dirty thing is probably a better way of describing it, you know?
I know.
I think it's one of those kinks that's, like, for me, not my thing, but I can sort of understand it from the degradation side as a dom.
Yeah. Yeah, for me, it took quite a long time for me to get into this kink.
Mm.
It's not one of my top kinks still at the moment, but it's definitely something I do now. But for many, many years, I didn't want to touch it at all.
Yeah. And honestly, it's like kind of the same. Like even now where it's like, I will do it if the sub's into it.
Mm?
It's... took me a while to get to that because it was always that thing in my head of like that sort of dirtiness of it, you know?
But yeah, weirdly, like urine is not really that dirty.
Well, so. I mean, it is a exiting waste fluid from the body, but yeah. I see what you mean. I don't know. It was just one of those things in my head that I just couldn't move past for the longest time.
Yeah. I don't know. For some people, it's like, yeah, piss comes from someone's cock, and I like cock, and I like everything that comes from it. There is some people who might think that way.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But, yeah, for me, a large part of it is the... It's a degradation, it's the objectification side of the play.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I hadn't thought of objectification. Yeah, okay. You know, I've not thought of it like that before.
Oh yeah? Really?
Yeah.
You've not seen any porn drawings or something where you know, a guy is being installed as a urinal?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, I have, but it never, as silly as this will sound, it never clicked with me that, this sounds really daft, the piss play aspect of that and the objectification aspect of that in my head was semi-divorced, because I always saw it more, now I'm thinking about it, it kind of depends on how it was, like, put forward, like whether it was a drawing, video, whatever.
Okay.
Like because you get things like piss gags, etc., where yeah. to me, I look at that and go, well, that's entirely about the piss. And then you get the drawings where people are being installed attached to urinals, etc., and it's like, well, this is about becoming part of that object.
Mm-hmm.
And in my head, I hadn't married the two up, as daft as that sounds.
Yeah, they're basically achieving the same thing.
Yeah. Oh, now you say it. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But for some reason, in my head, I hadn't stitched that thread.
Interesting. I thought that was pretty self-conclusive. Yeah, but that was just how I thought of it.
No, I think it's because, like, most of the time when I would see, like, the latter of those two examples, where they're being installed as that, I'd seen it alongside other objectification stuff. So it was like that contextual thing that I've spoken to you about before of the context here is object.
Mm.
The context wasn't piss, the context was object.
I guess. There is.
I think that's just me being a little bit autistic.
I don't know. So when I first bought my first piss gag, a funnel gag, and the company that made it also had a little video attached to it, and right. it was basically filmed at probably their company's toilet or something, and there was just mm-hmm. a sign that says, you know, urinal out of order, and then
right.
use that guy at the corner, that kind of thing.
Well, I mean, yeah, and it wouldn't be the first time that I've been, and I think you've been there as well, been at a fetish event,
mm-hmm.
and there is, like, a set of urinals blocked off, and there's just someone there with a gag on, and it's like,
yeah, yeah.
okay, like, you do you, mate, like, you know.
Yeah, it wouldn't be the first time I've installed a guy like that.
Fair enough. I don't know. It's because to me, even when I've done it as a dom, like, I've never done it as a sub. Like, this is one of the very few kinks that, mm-hmm. like, most of the time I'm fairly sort of on the ball that, like, if I'm going to do it as a dom, I want to have experienced it as a sub. Or I want to at least have the plan in there that I will be experiencing it as a sub at some point. But water sports is one that, like, as a sub doesn't really grab me, and it's not something I really want to do particularly.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that, like, I know full well if/when I do it with a sir or whatever, and I get in that space with someone I trust,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I still don't think I could drink it.
Okay.
And I most definitely don't think I could do it with strangers. And it's like, you see these guys at the event that do it with strangers, and it's just like, there's a part of me that, like, kind of wants to, like, tip my hat to that, because, like, that is very, very deep commitment to it, shall we say.
Yeah. In some way, it is more fun doing it at a big event.
I wouldn't know. I've never done it.
well, me neither. But sometimes I was always like, oh, I have to go, you know. I mean, obviously you can just drink it. But sometimes if you, like, strap a gag into a guy and there's one dom here and you only piss for 20 seconds.
Mm.
Seems like a bit of effort.
Yeah, and I get that. I get that. So I think this might be a chance, like, for us to kind of segue into the risks of this, because this is one of the reasons also I couldn't do it as a sub in that kind of environment. Like, there are risks associated with this particular
There is. The risk. Like, most people would say the risks aren't really too bad for something that you ingest.
I think that depends on the individuals involved. And I'll get into why that is in just a moment. But, like, let's touch on what some of the sort of basic level risks are, and then let's talk about the one that I'm kind of tiptoeing around at this second.
Sure.
So let's start by acknowledging that, you know, in pisses your ear, your body is naturally trying to flush your ear, and like if there's too much in your system, your body will react to try and flush it out of your system. It can make you ill in that respect.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's, you know, in the case of this, I mean, we're not medically trained. Let's put this right up front. This involves ingesting things. Do your own research. Just, you know, disclaimer, 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 as it were. But, you know, this can mean things like stomach cramp. It can mean things like throwing up. It, you know, it can, depending on your own individual system, make you quite ill in that respect.
Mm-hmm.
There's also the risk of any bacteria, infection, etc. that might be in the urethra, as well as all the standard STI risks, etc. because it's a form of oral sex or a form of anal sex, you know?
Yeah. Okay, and a big part of it is if you're at an event with doing it with someone you don't know, then there is always the chance of some drugs or alcohol or even the medication just passing through the system, going into the urine.
And that's the one I'm dancing around.
Mm.
So as someone who has allergies to fairly common medications.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, I'm allergic to penicillin and I'm allergic to nuts. Yeah. If a person has ingested either of these, particularly penicillin, but, you know, there is always that chance with anything they've ingested, and it's flushing through their urinal tracts, etc., it can make me severely ill, like very dangerously ill.
That makes sense.
And this is the other side of it. And this is the other reason why the whole sort of the guys that do it in public, it's like I look at that and go, that's quite a commitment. I could never do it.
Yeah, I wouldn't really have that problem though. I you know, I'm not really that badly allergic to anything as far as I know.
Ah, but you see, there's the kicker to me. It's the as far as you know. You know, I didn't develop my nut allergy until my 20s. I wouldn't know half the medications that I'm allergic to until my late 20s, early 30s sort of thing, you know? And it's just that thing in the back of my head that goes, yeah, like, this could make you quite ill. Anyway, with what you do know, let alone what you don't.
Yeah.
Let's be clear, I'm not trying to, like, put the fear of God in people and go, don't do it. Like, if you're going to do it, if you're into it, do it safely. Please look into the full risks, etc. Like, look into whether this is something you need to be concerned about. But there are some medications that are soluble into the liver and kidneys, etc., that would flush via your urine.
Yeah, but
and that includes drugs. That includes recreational drugs.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I just feel like if it was allergies and that I don't know about, then, you know, there will be ways that I could come across it anyway without knowing.
Oh, don't get me wrong. Absolutely. But this is my thing. It's that thing in the back of my head. It's just like, there's the allergy side of it. There's the fact that recreational drugs could be in it, etc. And I don't touch that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, for me, for someone I don't know, it's a no-no because I don't know enough.
Mm-hmm.
For a guy that I would trust, like, again, I don't think I could swallow, but if it was at that point, there's conversations I can have that would put my mind at ease about these risks.
Okay.
That's the heavy stuff sort of thing. Let's kind of take the side step, because you talked about gear for this.
Yes.
And let's be clear, you don't, like, gear is not a necessity for this.
Oh, no, not at all.
But there's some, like, there is a part of me that, like, takes my hat off to the ingenuity of some of the gear out there.
There is a lot of gear dedicated to this kink.
Right?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, what, I'm off the top of my head, like, we've already mentioned the funnel gag and the urinal gag. Some people take this a whole other step.
Yes.
And let's again preface this and go, don't do this without being very, very careful and looking into all the safeties, etc. But, like, some people have got, like, bondage setups that's got, like, I'm going to use the word recycling.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I don't know what other word to use.
That tends to be the word, yeah.
I mean, you will know this more than I will, but, like, if correct me if I'm wrong, it's a case of before the session starts, they would drink a lot of water.
Mm-hmm.
They would be tied up a catheter, I'm guessing, or at least some capture method would be created.
Mm-hmm.
That any urination that occurs would then be fed back to them in some way.
Yes, that is basically that.
Like you've shown me a couple of like photos of these kind of setups, and they are elaborate as fuck.
It could be elaborate, or it could also be just very simple. Honestly,
fair enough.
I now have the ability for such a setup, which is just a sleep sack. I have got like an ox balls silicone cock cage. That's got a urine tube coming out of it. There's nothing.
Oh, so it's almost like a formed funnel type thing.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, and because it's silicone, it kind of grabs your cock so it doesn't just leak out everywhere. And link back to a piss gag. I have got such a setup that I can,
which I mean,
I can do.
Interesting. Like I don't like. You see, I'm now like stood here going like, do I think I could do it with my own? I'm not sure. I could. I don't know. But I mean, on that is how most people start, isn't it? They start with trying.
Yeah. Sometimes pissing like upside down in the shower is. It's a thing, and be careful with that because I injured myself doing that about a year ago. Yeah,
I hurt my own back. You mentioned that you'd injured yourself in the episode. We never.
Yes, I definitely have mentioned that in the podcast. Yeah.
I mean, I had a friend at uni who, I say at uni, still a friend. But like, he would send me a picture every now and again on Snapchat, because that was like the big platform back then.
Oh yeah,
Christ, I'm showing my age there. And it was like he would have basically a juice bottle that he had pissed in, like
okay,
and it was orange juice or like whatever, and it was just like. The first time you ever sent it to me, I didn't get what it was. I'm like, oh yeah, you know, don't mind that. It's quite nice, whatever. It's just like, yeah, homemade. I'm like, oh, okay, we're having that conversation. To be clear, the guy wasn't doing any of this like without consent, etc. Don't just send people photos of your piss without consent.
Oh no,
but like. This particular individual and me, like, had these conversations on a regular basis, sort of type thing. But it was like, oh, that's not where I thought that conversation was going right now.
Fair enough. But there is always the piss anal plug type.
Yes, are you talking like the gatekeepers that people piss in, or are you talking specific setups?
There's no, I don't have a particular setup that I'm thinking of, other than, you know, you can just put a plastic, you can put a tube inside the.
I mean, please be careful, but yes.
Yeah.
I mean, some people just piss straight into the gatekeeper.
Yeah, exactly.
I've seen that on porn and what have you, and it's just like, okay, right.
Yeah, and there are specific butt plugs designed for piss.
Yeah.
Which wouldn't surprise anyone.
No, and it's kind of... Because this is why I said earlier, like, I'm surprised it's ninth, because it seems to be one of those that... There are so many manufacturers out there that are doing sometimes quite straightforward things, and then other times some really weird and wonderful shit, I used to know a guy who was really into his rubber.
Okay.
And really into his full, like one-piece cat suits.
Yeah.
And it used to be a thing that he enjoyed, like, when he'd get home at the end of the night, like, he would piss inside his suit just before he took it off. And, like,
yes,
like,
he'd
immediately wash it out afterwards, but, yeah. Like, he'd be pissing into his suit beforehand because he enjoyed it.
Yeah, that is absolutely a thing that people do. Some people mm-hmm. like the idea of squishing around in the piss inside the rubber suit. I have heard that people do it.
Well, yeah, and it's not just rubber suits. It's like the wetsuits.
Wellies.
Wellies is a quite common one. Just swimsuits, etc. Though, you know, please don't do it in the pool unless it's that kind of party. You know. I'll tell you something that we've not spoken about, which is the strength.
Absolutely, yeah. I wanted to come onto that.
Literally? Yeah.
No.
Oh, listeners, I really wish there was a video component to this, because he so confidently sits there and goes, yes, and then you see it dawn on him what I just said. It's just like, oh, fuck you.
Yeah, I did. Anyway. Yeah, I was going to come onto that topic. If you are just doing it, like, casually, you're probably going to dilute it with a lot of water or something.
Well, you see, here's the thing. I'm gonna query your definition of casual, because one of the reasons that I wanted to touch on this is to go, like, if you're doing this without preparation, there is a more than good chance for most people, I reckon, that it's going to be stronger than you're expecting.
Yes, yeah.
Because most people are dehydrated to some degree, quite frankly. And the other thing is, like, first thing in the morning, it's going to be strong. Like, even if you're the most hydrated person in the world, first thing in the morning, it's going to be strong.
Yeah.
But some people really like it.
Unless you're like me, who keeps a glass of water next to my bed every night, and I just keep drinking it overnight.
Oh, you see, I can't do that, because I end up waking up too often. But, like, some people really like that strength. Like, some people, their entire thing with water sports...
Yeah.
Comes to the degradation of it, comes to the strength of it. And the stronger it is, the more degrading, and therefore the more of a turn on it is.
Oh, totally. Yeah. It's part of the, like, unpleasantness that you go through in order to show your submission. It's like, you know, it's like a lot of like sadism things.
Oh no, absolutely. And it's interesting, isn't it, that some people really want that side of things. And then some people want more, no, I get the same level of degradation regardless, you know?
If it's about degradation at all. Like
Well, true. But and that's a fair point. I mean, like, the degradation is my point of reference here.
Yeah.
If I'm doing it with a sub, and I know I'm doing it with a sub, because there is a sub that I can think of that, you know, is quite spontaneous with it. If I know I'm doing it with a sub, I will try and make sure that I increase the amount of water that I've been drinking for a day or two beforehand.
Yeah.
In order to help dilute it a bit.
That's fair enough. That's quite thoughtful. Yeah, but apart from dilution with water, there are also other things that you can consume that may change the taste of your urine.
Well, yeah, and it's worth pointing out the taste in general will vary based on your diet.
Absolutely.
Kind of like spunk. And it's like, I'm trying to think, what are the big ones that change it? The obvious one is it...
Wait. Asparagus. Asparagus is a big one, yeah.
Sorry, I was running through my head going, it is asparagus, isn't it? It's not broccoli. Yeah. I'm just like, I don't know why I think it's broccoli for a moment.
I don't know.
But yeah, asparagus is like the big one that immediately comes to mind.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because it doesn't bother everyone. It depends if you've got a certain gene, if I remember rightly, as to whether it has an effect.
Oh, right.
But for some people that like are really into the strength side of it, and that like they want it strong, or they want it particularly sort of acrid.
Yeah.
Like, that's a big one.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes certain fruit juices, etc.
Yeah, I seem to remember pineapple juice being a big one.
Yeah, same. But yeah, it's an interesting one. Like, this, I don't know. It's always one that I'm a little bit, I don't want to say unsure of. It's just not like a go-to for me.
No,
I do remember
fair.
The first time I ever did it.
Oh yeah.
I was at a conference.
A conference.
Years and years and years ago, I was at a conference.
Not a kinky con, but just as it's literally a standard conference.
No. Just like, just one of these, like, It was what I can't
vanilla
remember.
A vanilla conference.
No, it was not even like a fan con type thing. Like it was an actual conference. Okay, like I was back in uni.
So like an academic conference type.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was on Grindr, and I got talking to this guy. Mm-hmm. And he's like, "Oh yeah, like I'm quite kinky. Like I want a guy who'll be quite dominant with me, but I'm really into water sports." Okay. And I'm like, "Okay."
Yeah.
And I was still quite new to, like, particularly kinky sex. Like, I've always been a little bit kinky, but I was kind of just finding my roots as being sort of, like, the sort of dom I would consider myself to be today.
Okay.
And I'm like, okay, like, I've never done this before. But if you're willing to try it, I'm willing to try it type of thing.
Yeah.
So he comes round, we have some fun, and at the end he wants me to piss on him before he leaves. He gets into the bath in the hotel room, lays down, beautiful, gorgeous Twinkie guy, was really into his bears, and I couldn't pee.
Oh, yeah.
I have never been a person to be piss shy.
Oh, yeah.
But I couldn't pee.
That is the most annoying thing that can happen. Yeah. Make sure you drink your fluid if you're going to do a piss scene.
But it wasn't even a case of I hadn't drunk fluid. Like, there had been coffee and everything flowing all day.
Mm-hmm.
Coffee's a diuretic, you usually pee more. But the thing is, I've got this guy laid there waiting for me to piss on him. And I couldn't get over that hurdle in my head. I couldn't get over that hurdle in my head of... You don't normally piss on a guy.
Okay.
And was the weirdest, like... What's the word? Like, the only word that's coming to mind is, like, it's the weirdest impotency like I've ever come across. It's just like, I can't pee.
Yeah. I've had that problem before.
Well, like, this is the thing, and it's just like, but I've also had this with a guy that I have done this with multiple times,
mm-hmm.
where for some reason, on that particular day, I can't get over that hurdle in my head. And the worst bit is, you'll get the guy looking up at you, like, really horny, really expectantly, kind of almost panting for it.
Yeah.
And you're looking down at them like, you're not helping. You're just putting the pressure on.
I know.
I'm suddenly pee shy.
Yeah, there was that time when I, done the whole thing about strapping the funnel hood on a guy, and I'm like, oh, crap, I can't. There is no piss.
Right. Sorry, boys, the well is empty. But you know what the worst thing is? Like, I managed to do a little bit. Apologise to him that I hadn't been able to do it fully. And he's like, no, it's fine. Like, it's your first time. Thank you for trying. At least we got a bit, etc.
Mm-hmm.
He walks out the door.
Immediately,
I looked out the door long enough to see he got to the elevator. I walked back into the hotel room.
Desperately need a piss.
Suddenly, I needed to piss like a fucking racehorse. There are horses that run the Grand National that do not piss as much as I did in that moment. There can't have been 2 minutes. Well, okay, there must have been more than 2 minutes, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Too late to call a guy back in.
Exactly. It's just like, fuck's sake. But I've had this at events as well, where it's just like, you go to the urinals and there's a guy, you know, to the side of them.
Oh, yeah.
Waiting for piss.
Yeah.
And normally, 9 times out of 10, doesn't bother me.
Nope.
That one day, for some reason, that guy being there, I suddenly can't pee. I need to pee, but I can't pee. And it's the most annoying thing when, you know, you've took that time to get your leather down and everything else, and you know, especially if you're wearing snug leathers, etc. And it's just like, I've just spent 5 minutes, like, taking my tackle out. The fuck? But yeah.
But is that all we want to cover today?
I think it is for today. I think we've done this a few times where it's just like we'll do an initial topic, we'll come back to it later, and I think this might be one that I think it would be really interesting to get someone that's really, really heavily into it and it's their main thing, mm-hmm. and get them on the show to talk about it.
Oh yeah,
because we've dabbled with it, but I wouldn't say it's our main thing.
Yeah, it might give us some ideas as well.
There is that. Fair enough then. Well, speaking of moments of impotence and not being able to get there at the final moment, should we go into the 5 minute Marvel?
Yeah, okay. So that was the end of that. Secret Invasion is over.
To anyone that wasn't aware of what I was talking about, we had just had the finale of Secret Invasion. I watched it literally 2 minutes before we started recording, and I'm disappointed.
Yeah, that sucked. That really sucked.
That none needed of it another made... couple of episodes.
None of that made any sense.
So here's the annoying thing. And I didn't actually say this on the show, so I'm going to look like I'm just being that guy, but I did say this to you off air, so I'd appreciate you backing me up.
Mm-hmm.
I called this.
Yeah.
I called that it was not Fury that did the final battle. Or, because I called two scenarios. It's not Fury that does that final confrontation, or Fury does the final confrontation, dies, and Gaia takes his place. They were the two scenarios I called to you on this.
Yeah, but the way they'd gone through that. Yeah, the way they'd gone through that scene, it was bleedingly obvious that was Gaia in Fury's guise.
Yep. Yeah, but partly because he degraded so quickly, and it was just like, okay.
Yeah. Also, what happened to the other humans down in the basement?
Right? That was the first thing that popped in my head when they started releasing them. It's just like, hold on a minute.
Yeah, if that room, that particular room has got protection, I mean, that's okay. Yeah, I can go with that. Aren't you going to give them hazmat suits to come out?
Mm-hmm. I felt like that episode needed either two or three more episodes on the series, or that should have been an hour-long episode.
Oh, yeah. God.
Because that was only a 25-minute episode.
Yeah.
And that's the first time that I've sat through one of... Okay, maybe not the first time, but that's the most stark time I've sat through an episode of Secret Invasion and gone, this is too short. This is rushed.
Absolutely. Yeah. It started okay. Like... Also, thinking about the first episode, I was like, oh, Maria Hill died in a series that just ends like this? I'm annoyed.
I mean, I'm really annoyed with Maria Hill's situation. It's nice to know that we didn't kill Colonel Ross, because I think that really would have been a crying shame to have got rid of Martin Sheen so quickly.
Freeman.
I mean, the ending of it doesn't make sense to me, because we're now going into the Marvels where the powers are entwined. But Gaia has powers?
Yeah, I think the only thing about Gaia is we don't know if she's good or bad. Like, she's in that grey zone.
And in the comics, she's grey as well. I think it's interesting she's working for the British government now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, can we mention how the Prime Minister just got gunned down in that scene?
Right? Like that outside Downing Street? No.
Yeah.
How do you get inside? Can we touch on? Bit. Right. Can we touch on? Because like I can see time like rolling down on us. When was Rhodey taken?
Don't know.
Because I feel like it's heavily implied there that he was taken after the Civil War fight.
Yeah, with the hospital gown. Yeah. But mm-hmm. I don't think that is right. That can't be right. They can't imply that. There's no way Rhodey is not Rhodey during Infinity War and Endgame.
See, this is my problem with this. There's so many questions that are left hanging there as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm really disappointed? Well, I had hoped for a cliffhanger. There was one other scenario I'd hoped for, which was that we would end up with a cliffhanger, we had Secret Invasion, and it kind of cued us in, we were going to get a proper Secret Wars.
Secret Wars is the title of the second Avengers film. After Kang Dynasty.
Excelsior! Didn't know that. But yeah, I think we might be revisiting that, and there's other stuff that we just didn't have time to touch on today, so there's plenty more 5-minute Marvels left to come.
Oh, absolutely. There's any Marvel projects coming right up.
Exactly.
Not for a bit.
So what's on your joysticks, Chris?
And now for joysticks.
Oh, I don't know why I'm in a high mood.
Why are you so good?
I may have had way too much caffeine today, okay?
Okay. Yes, I have been playing Transport Fever 2. I don't know if I talked about this.
Okay.
I don't know if I talked about this on the podcast before. It's a game that I have come back to a few times.
Hmm.
Have you ever played Transport Tycoon in the old days?
The only tycoon game I played like, I hate the fact you've called it that because you're going to get me saying it now. The old days.
Okay.
No. I refuse to use that term. The only thing that I played tycoon wise was the Roller Coaster Tycoon series.
Sure. But Transport Tycoon is an actually pretty old game. People have now developed it into an open source version for free.
Oh, okay.
They're now called OpenTTD, the free and open source version.
Right.
So yeah, Open Transport Tycoon Deluxe, which is not what I'm here to talk about, but you know, it's like 2D graphics and everything on that one.
But can I sidebar for 1 second and go, there's a lot of that happening at the moment. I don't know if it's that a few things have become abandonware or what have you, with like all the moving around of the different companies and mergers and everything else. But like, there's an open source version of the original Diablo now. There's an open source version of the Tycoon one. Someone turned the Roller Coaster Tycoon, I think it was 2, into an online multiplayer thing now.
Okay.
Like, there seems to be this real big resurgence of, like, older games getting this second life.
Fair enough. Okay. I didn't know that, actually. But anyway, yeah. Transport Fever 2, it's more or less like a 3D version of the old Transport Tycoon.
Okay.
Yeah, so you get various cities dotted around the map. You get industries, and you have to manage the industry train. So you get grain, you turn it into bread, and you feed the city, and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You build roads, train tracks, bus routes, ferry routes, or cargo, you know, cargo ships, etc. That kind of thing. And you kind of watch your cities grow. One of these railway. Yeah, railway is the main one that I think most people pay the most attention to. I'd say in these kind of games. So
isn't it? Like everyone as a kid wanted their own like big model railway type thing.
Yeah.
Or at least every kid I knew did.
Oh, yeah, I know. That game controls that can be a bit finicky, like building the bridges over roads, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of demolishing and rebuilding. But overall, I do like it. It's addictive as fuck.
Fair enough.
Just like those kind of railway games, like, oh yeah, there's always one more thing you want, one more thing to do. It's so easy to do one more thing.
The next thing you know, it's 3 a.m.
Exactly. Do the one thing is easy. No, I'm, and then like,
I'm at that point where it's just like, those games are dangerous now.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just like, it is always that, oh, just one more bit. Just, I know it's 1 a.m., but I'm just going to do this bit. Oh, wait, it's 2:30 in the morning.
So, yeah, that's been eating out all my time. What's on your choice, Dix?
Well, I mean, kind of. Okay. Is it a game? Is it technically on my joysticks if I don't have to do anything to play it?
Oh, it's one of those now. Okay. Maybe.
Hold on. One of those?
What? Are you talking about an idle game?
No. No. I'm talking about okay. Pokemon Sleep.
Okay.
Well, more to the point, I'm talking not like I'm not talking Pokemon Sleep because do you remember how when they announced it, everyone had this sort of one what the fuck reaction, but also on the other side of it was, yeah, I'd give it a go.
Mm.
Well, I installed it.
Okay.
I set it up. I downloaded the extra download because for some reason we can't just put all of the materials in the initial download anymore. But that's by the by.
Oh, yeah, I know.
I put the download
yeah.
in, I signed up, and, you know, I set it up. And I've never used it.
Mm.
And it's not because of all the privacy data, which, you know, that's a fair criticism yeah. that people have got of it, but, you know.
But then, you know,
that's not my issue with it. My yeah. issue with it is all of the fucking alarms in it suck.
Oh.
All of the alarms suck.
As in the alarm to wake you up?
Yeah. Like, okay. I'm looking at all of the alarms in there going, that would not wake me up. Like, let's put this in context. My alarm right now is AJR, Let the Games Begin, which starts with a triple trumpet blast.
Okay, yeah.
Because I need something that's going to cut through and wait. You've slept next to me. I sleep through a bomb.
Yeah.
You know this.
No, yeah. I don't. My alarm is completely the opposite. I'm like, yeah, give me a gentle tune. I'm like, yeah, that's fine. I'll wake to that.
You know yourself. If something doesn't actually shock me awake, I don't wake up. I just turn it off and go back to sleep without even being conscious.
Yeah. Can we go back a bit? What is exactly Pokemon Sleep?
Well, this is the thing. Because I haven't played it, I don't fully know. But from the way it's explained and from everything I've seen, it's essentially just a sleep tracker app that rewards you for getting enough sleep by giving you different rarities of Pokemon. So you start out with a Pikachu. That's the like starter Pokemon.
Okay.
Your Pikachu goes to sleep next to a Snorlax, and the idea is you leave your phone with the screen turned on, with the battery plugged in, on your mattress as you sleep, and it tracks your sleep.
Right.
Now, here's the thing. I'm no stranger to these apps. I've used these apps quite a bit because, you know, they're a useful thing to be able to get an idea of what's going on with your sleep, what's waking you up, etc. But if the alarms won't wake you up because they're too gentle, and it won't let you set something like a custom ringtone or Spotify integration or something like that, what's the point? Because it's not going to work. Why? And also, why am I using this that's just got next to no features in it versus using something like, I don't know, Sleep Like Droid or whatever it's called?
Yeah, I know.
That has all of the mapping and all of the, like, it's ridiculous. It attaches to your watch and everything.
Uh-huh.
The Pokemon one attaches to external devices, right? Every other sleep app on the market attaches to Android Wear.
Yeah.
Except for Pokemon Sleep.
Okay.
Pokemon Sleep will only attach to the Pokemon Plus.
Oh. Wow.
Which, I mean, I get it, it's branding.
Yeah.
But at the same time, what's the point?
What are they trying to...
this at?
Yeah, what are they actually trying to make?
I don't know. I don't know who this is meant to be marketed at. Yeah. It doesn't make any sense to me.
No, it just seems like...
Which, to be fair, was my reaction when they first announced it, but I kind of went, well, that's a bit of a dumb thing, but, you know, fine, fair enough.
Yeah, it just seems like...
I mean, it's not the first time Nintendo have forayed into health.
True. I mean, they've got another one, haven't they? They've got that Pokemon Smile, haven't they?
Wait, what? I've not seen this one.
The one that I think makes you brush your teeth.
Okay. Wait, no, because this... Wait, hang on a minute. This is the one that's aimed at kids, right?
Yeah.
Okay, but here's the thing. That one makes sense to me.
Yeah, I guess, yeah, because...
That one absolutely makes sense to me because it's aimed at kids to encourage kids to brush the teeth, etc. There's a target audience there that's very clear.
Mm.
If you're going to target the adult audience, which seems to be what Pokemon Sleep is, it's targeting some of that nostalgia for the adult audiences that track the sleep.
No, that like, doesn't...
Minimum viable product is not it.
Yeah, that doesn't work. Like, you can't just award me Pokemon for sleeping.
No, you see, I'm a simple man. Yes, it would work. Okay?
Okay.
It would absolutely work if the alarms were worth anything, but the alarms aren't worth shit.
No.
To somebody who sleeps the way that I do, the alarms don't.
No, you cannot just give me Pokemon for like vaguely healthy habits. You can't just give me Pokemon and make me work out. Like I work out anyway, but
I was about Pokemon to say, I could prove you wrong, boy.
Pokemon is not going to do it.
I bet I could prove you wrong, boy. I bet you I could give you Pokemon and make you work out. But yeah, like, I know it's technically not a joystick. But I feel like it's close enough related I might get away with it this week. So we're going with it.
Yeah. Most things Pokemon, you can kind of get away.
There is a catching mechanic. There is a failure mechanic. There is an objective.
Okay.
Huh. It technically meets the criteria.
Yeah. Okay. Fair. Yeah. It's a gamified... utility. Yeah, a gamified utility app. So, yeah.
I'm bending the rules really heavily on what a joystick is because I have not had much time to game that much this last few weeks. But
I guess that.
But yeah, that's my joystick. So...
Yay. No.
But with that, Chris, that has been this week, I think.
Yes, it has.
Indeed. So if people would like to go and find us on socials, which, fair warning, socials are a bit of a mess right now.
Yeah.
Where can they find us, Chris?
Well, you can find us a safe place. That is our website, tbnjpodcast.com.
Because we know that one will be there in a few months.
Yes.
Now, you can find us on tbnjpodcast.com. You can also find all our links on tbnjpodcast.com/links.
Yeah, or now, click the link on the main page.
Indeed. But for now, I have been Sad.
And I've been Chris.
Thank you very much for listening.
I'll see you next time.
My apologies that I've had way too much caffeine. See you next time.
Bye.
Yay. Bye.
This episode is edited by TBNJ Chris. Our soundboard compressors are to free audio. The opening and ending music is called Conundrum by DOAK. Thank you for listening to Teabags and Joysticks.